Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from a message by Charles Spurgeon that we began already last time. Impotence and Omnipotence is the name of it, and we're on point three. It says, thirdly, the Savior heard the man's plaint. This is what he said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Some of these people had kind friends who took turns at watching day and night. And the moment that the water was stirred, they took up their patient and plunged him in. Well, this man had lost all his friends. 38 years of illness had worn them all out. He said, I have no man to put me into the pool. How can I get into the water? And so there are many in this case. They want help. While I have been at Mentone, I have had the joy of leading a number of friends to Christ. When I had to leave them and come back to London, one and another of them said to me, What can we do without you, sir? We shall have nobody to lead us in the right way now, no one to instruct us, no one to meet our objections, nobody to solve our doubts, nobody to whom we can tell the anxieties of our hearts. And no doubt some of you would talk in the same fashion. And I must admit that the lack of a helper is serious. It's a great deprivation to have no man to help you in these things. Sometimes if a friend will come up after the sermon and just say a kindly word, it'll do more good than the sermon itself. Many a poor troubled one who has been a long time in prison might have been sooner released if only some kind friend had reminded the brother of a divine promise which, like a key, would have opened the prison door. I agree with you that there is a great help in having an earnest Christian friend to lift you over a difficulty, to bear you down to the water's edge, to which you cannot go by yourself, to put you into the pool. It's a great loss, certainly, if you have no such friend. I'm very sorry for you. You live in a village where there's nobody to speak to you about spiritual matters, or you attend a ministry that does not feed you. You have nobody to comfort you. There are not many, after all, who can really help sinners in coming to Christ. Some who try to do are a great deal too wise, and others are too hard-hearted. It wants special training in the school of grace, if anyone is to learn to sympathize with others so as to be able really to help them. I can suppose that one here is saying, I have no mother to speak to, I have no Christian friend in the family, I have no one to whom I can go for help. That's why I stick fast where I am. Well, a helper is very valuable, but I want to say that a helper may not be so valuable as you think. I've known some who have had plenty of Christian helpers while they were seeking the Lord, but none of them were able really to help them. If you trust in earthly helpers and think them essential, God will not bless their efforts. They'll be of no use to you. I'm afraid that many a seeker has had to say, even to good and earnest Christians, what Job said to his friends, Miserable comforters are you all. After all, how can a man help you much in your soul's affairs? No man can give you faith or give you pardon. No man can give you spiritual life or even spiritual light. Though you have no man to help you, remember that you can make too much of men, and you can trust too much in Christian helpers. I beg you to recollect that. I'm afraid that there are some professors who have been helped a little too much. They heard a sermon. They were really impressed by it. And somebody was foolish enough to say to them, That is conversion. It never was conversion at all. The friend further said, Now come forward and make a profession. And so they came forward and made a profession of what they never had. Then the friend said, Now come to such a meeting. Come and join the church. Come on. And thus they were led and led and led, never having any real internal life or spiritual energy given them from on high. They're just like children in go-karts who are unable to walk alone. God save you from a religion that depends upon other people. There are some who have a kind of lean-to religion, resting on somebody else. And when that support is taken away, what becomes of the lean-to? And the good old lady who helped you for so many years dies. Where is your religion then? The minister used to keep you going. You were like a whipping top, and he like the whip that kept you spinning. When he's gone, where are you? Do not have a religion of that kind, I entreat you. Though a helper is very useful, remember that under certain conditions, even a Christian helper may be a hinderer. Now, my dear hearer, this is the point I have come to. You have to deal with Jesus tonight. And dealing with Jesus, you need no man. You have not to deal with pools and angels. You have to deal with the Lord Jesus himself. Suppose that there is no man to help you. Do you want any man when Jesus is here? The man was wanted to put you into the pool. He's not needed to introduce you to Christ. You may speak to him yourself. You may sue out mercy for yourself. You may confess your sin yourself. You need no priest. You need a mediator between your soul and God. But you do not need a mediator between your soul and Jesus. You may come to him where you are and as you are. Come to him now. Tell him your case. Plead with him for mercy. He does not need my help. He does not need the help of the Archbishop of Canterbury. He does not need the help of anybody. He alone can meet your case. Just put your case into his hand. And then if you have no one to be your helper, you need not lie down and fret about it, for he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to him by him. Now, this is all very plain talk, but we need plain talk nowadays. I feel as if I had not preached on Sunday unless I had tried to bring men to Christ. There are many high and sublime doctrines that I would like to speak of, and many deep and rapturous experiences that I would like to describe. Yet, I feel that I must often leave these things and keep to the much more commonplace, but much more useful matter of persuading men in Christ's stead, that they look away from man and away from ordinances and away from self and deal with Jesus himself distinctly and directly. For then there will be no need of man, certainly no need of delay. Here's my closing point, number 4. The Savior met the man's case entirely. This impotent man has no man to help him. Christ can help him without any man. This man cannot move except with great pain. He has to crawl to the water's edge, but he need not crawl there. He need not move an inch. The power to heal that man was in the Christ who stood there, commissioned of God to save sinners and to help the helpless. Please to recollect that the power that saves, all of it, is not in the saved man, but in the Christ who saves. I take leave to contradict those who say that salvation is an evolution. All that ever can be evolved out of the sinful heart of man is sin, nothing else. Salvation is the free gift of God by Jesus Christ, and the work of it is supernatural. It's done by the Lord himself, and he has power to do it, however weak, nay, however dead in sin the sinner may be. As a living child of God, I can say tonight that on a life I did not live, on a death I did not die, I stake my whole eternity. You who would be saved must do the same. You must look right out of self to him whom God has exalted to be a prince and a savior to the sons of men. The Christ met that man's case, for he was able to do anything for him that he required. He meets your case, my dear hearer, for he can do anything for you that is needed. Between here and heaven's gate, there shall never be anything required which he cannot give, or any help needed which he is not prepared to render, for he has all power in heaven and in earth. And then the Lord can do more for you than you ask of him. This poor man never asked anything of Christ except by his looks, and by his lying there at the pool. If you feel tonight as if you could not pray, if you have needs that you cannot describe, if there's something needed and you don't know what it is, Christ can give it to you. You shall know what it is that you need when you get it. But perhaps now, in his mercy, he does not let you know all your needs. But here's the point. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, may he do it in you tonight. Take comfort from the cure of the impotent man. Cherish hope and say, why should he not also heal me? Now, the way in which Christ worked was very singular. He worked by a command. It's not a way that you and I would have selected, nor a way of which some nominal Christians approve. He just said to this man, rise. He could not rise. Take up thy bed. He could not take up his bed. He'd been 38 years unable to get off his bed. Take up thy bed and walk. Walk? He could not walk. I've heard some objectors say that preacher says to people, believe, they cannot believe. He bids them repent, they cannot repent. Ah, well, our Lord is our example. And he said to this man who could not rise and could not take up his bed and could not walk, rise, take up thy bed and walk. That was his way of exercising his divine power. And that's the way in which Christ saves men today. He gives us faith enough to say, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. They cannot live, but they do hear, and they do live. While we are acting by faith, delivering a command which looks upon the surface of it to be absurd and unreasonable, the work of Christ is done by that command. And did he not say of old, in the darkness let there be light? To what spake the Lord that word of power? To darkness, to nothingness. And there was light. Now he speaks to the sinner and he says, believe and live. He believes and he lives. God wants those of his messengers who have the faith to give his command, to let the sinner know that he has not the strength to obey, that he is morally lost and ruined, and yet to say in the name of the eternal God, thus saith the Lord, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Believe. Repent, be converted, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way in which Christ's power goes forth to the sons of men. He said to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth thine hand, and he did so. He says to the dead, come forth, they do come forth. His commandings are attended with enablings. And where his commands are faithfully preached, his power goes with them, and men are saved. I close with this observation. In obedience, power was given. The man did not stop and wrangle with Christ and say, rise, what dost thou mean? Thou lookest like a friend, but do you come here to make sport of me? Rise. 38 years I've been lying here, and you say, rise? Do you think that there has ever been a minute in those 38 years in which I would not have gladly risen if I could have done so, and yet you say, rise, and you say, take up your bed, shoulder the rug on which you lie? How can I do so? It is 38 years since I could lift a pound weight, and you bid me shoulder this mat on which I lie? And do you make me a theme of jest? And walk. You say, walk. Walk? Hear me, you sick ones around me. He tells me to walk. I can scarcely lift even a finger, yet he bids me walk. Thus he might have argued the matter out, and it would have been a very logical piece of argument, and the Savior would have stood convicted of having spoken empty words. Instead of speaking thus, no sooner did Christ say to him, rise, than he willed to rise. And as he willed to rise, he moved to rise, and rise he did. To his own astonishment, he rose, and stooping down, rolled up his mattress, all the while filled with wonder, every part of his body singing as he rolled it up, and put it on his shoulder with alacrity. And to his surprise, he found that the joints of his feet and legs could move, and he walked right away with his mattress on his shoulder. And the miracle was complete. "Stop, man, stop. Come here. Now, had you the strength to do this of yourself?" "No, no, not I. I lay there 38 years. I had no strength till that word rise came to me." "But did you do it?" "Yes, you see that I did it. I rose. I folded up the mattress. I walked away." "But you were under some kind of compulsion that made you move your legs and your hands, were you not?" "No, no. I did it freely, cheerfully, gladly." "Compel me to do it, my dear sir. I clapped my hands for joy to think that I could do it. I don't want to go back to that old mat and lie there again, not I." "Then what did you do?" "Well, I scarcely know what I did. I believed him, and I did what he told me. And a strange, mysterious power came over me, and that's the whole story." "Now explain it. Tell these people all about it." "Oh, no," says the man. I know that it is so, but I cannot explain it. One thing I know, whereas I was a cripple, now I can walk. Whereas I was impotent, now I can carry my bed. Whereas I was lying there, now I can stand upright." "I cannot explain salvation to you tonight or how it takes place. But I remember when I sat in the pew as despairing a sinner as ever lived, I heard the preacher say, 'Look to Christ and live.' And he seemed to say to me, 'Look, look, look, look.' And I did look, and I lived. That moment the burden of my sin was gone. I was crippled with unbelief no longer. I went home a sinner, saved by grace, to live to praise the Lord. And as the song says, 'Ere since by faith I saw the stream his flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die.' I am impressed that I'm going to have ever so many tonight who will just obey the gospel command, 'Believe and live. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.' Oh, do it. Do it now. And unto God be glory, and unto thyself be peace and happiness forever. Amen and amen." Thank you for being here today at the Hackberry House of Chosun. Please look around the website and you'll find some other great men of God here. And I'll be telling their story or reading their words. I think you'll be blessed by it. Also, you'll find some things here about North Korea. You will see some photos there about North Korea. You'll be able to pray, excuse me, meaningfully about North Korea. You'll be able to study the Quran from a Christian point of view on this website. You'll be able to study about Muhammad and prophecy and just a whole lot of other things. And I've started a new blog, and I'm really hoping that you will go over to www.criesfromamongus. It's one big long word, www.criesfromamongus.com. And there you will see a series of blogs that I've put together recently, and there's more coming, about a serious problem among us. And I think we are guilty of some child abuse. Yes, in the church, we've been going a little too far with the discipline that God requires, but not what these people are doing. I want you to pray along with me that we'll be able to do something about this. It's a blog, www.criesfromamongus.com. A blog meaning that you will be reading and not listening. Anyway, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.